Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ralph Pointer, What's Happening? And tonight is Tuesday. Yes, yet another Tuesday, December 6th, 2022. And our call-in number is 347-857-3293. And there is so much going wrong, it is hard to keep up with it. And that's why we have What's Happening. And our theme tonight, although there is a lot we will be discussing, is the state murder of Kevin Johnson. What does it really mean? And we have a very special guest that will be discussing that topic with us later on in the program. However, we've also got another special guest, and I'm going to sort of hold off on that for a while because I want you to hang on in suspense. But it has something to do with the Central Park Five. So without further ado, Ralph Pointer, this is an anatomy of the American capitalist system. This is an anatomy of oppression, which requires an anatomy of colonialism and imperialism. So what's happening?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. What's happening, in short, is we, the progressive people of the world, are in great trouble. Now, how do we get out of trouble? Well, we have to be able to define the trouble we're in. And only then, with facts surrounding the trouble we are in, once we get the facts, understanding them, and then placing them into a pattern that will direct our way of living. Now, some people call that their learning tree. I do remember a gentleman named Gordon Parks wrote a book, and the premises was, wherever you are, whatever you do, whatever your experiences are your learning tree. But the question is, how does one interpret their experiences properly? And this is what we're about. We bring issues that are of utmost import, and we try to interpret them in a manner that will improve our lives. The state murder of Kevin Johnson. First, we have to get the facts. And in this society, we must recognize that that is very important, very difficult, because this nation was built on denying the facts. The first fact that they have denied over and over again, and they make it a state policy. DeSantis in Florida says, we are not living on land that was stolen. The indigenous folk here were not killed. And we don't want to talk about that. Well, this isn't 100 years ago. This is not 50 years ago. And this is not a great exception. Many parts of the nation, to the degree of half of the nation, says we don't want to learn those things that make us uncomfortable. And I say, well, things, the facts can make you uncomfortable. But the facts are the facts. They're not situations that make you comfortable. They call it history. But people don't want to talk about history. And this is where we live. In a nation that this is nothing new. You realize it was like 1965 before the public schools talked about the real history of America. When I talk about the real history of America, we called it Black history. And what that meant was the history that was left out. And there was so much history left out, we're still trying to put it in, so much so that people are carrying on. We don't want to know that because it makes people uncomfortable. And today, and I realize one of the things that we are amiss, we haven't covered the murder of Kevin Johnson by the state. We don't know about that. How is it that we don't know about it? The state didn't cover it. Therefore, we must cover it, and we must talk about what it means. The Central Park Five. We don't know about that because the news we got was from the corporate media that wants to keep everything out. They didn't begin to touch the reality of what happened there. And so this evening, we're going to try to touch on these subjects and talk about what it means. We have folks that are going to come on and give us the real information, but we will begin, as we always do, with poetry, with Professor Louie, who will be on WBAI tomorrow night with Julia Wright. That is the daughter of the fantastic Richard Wright, who taught us so much just by telling stories of what happened. And so let us begin. As I always say, get education and entertainment at the same time. Professor Louie, will you start us off?
Microphone is up. All right. Dear Mama, I had to write you a letter. I'm getting along here, but it's kind of hard. Sometimes I'll be thinking about you, walking and talking in the prison yard. How's the family? I send you all my love. Give little sister a kiss for me. At night in my cell, I see your faces. You're the good times of my memory, and I hope everybody is doing okay. Please come up and see me sometime. Some people here are crazy and ugly, but there's a whole lot whose case is like mine. And I don't mean to say I didn't do nothing. I used some dope and I sold some too. But you know, I never really hurt nobody. I was just trying to make it. What else is new? And it's true, I didn't think about the people I sold to. I wasn't thinking what dope can do. It felt like a race and I was running. I tried to win a little before I was through, and I had a little money before it was over. I had some nice clothes. Hey, I was the Mac. I had me a car, and I had some girlfriends, and I spent some money I will never give back. But one day, you know, the cops pulled me over. It wasn't even for something that I did. I must have looked just like what I was. Nothing but a dope-dealing wise guy kid, and I had a nice piece of rock in my pocket. Quiet as it's kept, it wasn't that well hid. They smacked me around up the side of my head and threw me down in handcuffs for what I had did. The judge was unhappy, and I had no money. The district attorney, he felt the same. He said the law was here for a reason. A crime was committed, and I was to blame. So they sent me up for 5 years in prison, possibility of parole in 3. And here in my cell in the first week, Mama, a big prison guard tried to abuse me. He had a club, and I had a work shoe. You know I had to defend myself. If you don't, they all come and run a train on you. They drag your butt right off the shelf. I got beat pretty bad, but I hurt him too. The judge, he gave me 5 more years. Trouble came down and rained all around me. It feels like a lifetime I'm doing here. I bowed my head and I cried for days. I couldn't believe it happened to me. There was no way out from the hole where they put me. I cursed every single face I could see, but there's a guy up here. They call him Big Time. He talks to me, Mama, now and then. Out in the yard, they call him the preacher. Everybody listens to him. He says rich people, they pay with money. He says poor people, we pay with time. He says big people already decided how they get theirs, and I get mine. So I found out everything's not all my fault. I know when I'm wrong, I gotta take the blame. But some of us got the whole deck stacked against us. I know I was born just a pawn in the game. So I got old fast. Now I'm older and wiser. I don't want to let the bitterness in. I'm starting to learn about the world around me. I was born to lose, but I plan to win. And I don't want to believe in the things that I used to, that life is dirty, nasty, and short, that I got to be for me and me only, and that every single body can be sold and bought, because you see by now, I got a few friends here. We talk to each other, keep from going insane. They watch my back, and they know who I am. I'm not just a number. Now I'm a name, and I found out it's not just the clothes that you're wearing, the car you drive, or something like that. I found out it's really the way that you're feeling. It's what you got inside that's where it's at. So, Mama, please don't worry about me. know that I'm doing the best that I can. Time passes slow and there's madness around me. I'm trying to be just who I am. One day I know we'll all be together. Tell everybody to wait for me. One day these walls will no longer surround me. It's over the mountaintops I'm going to see, because this jail is no use for the guards or the prisoners. It's no use for you out there paying the bill. When you think your enemy is your own children, you pay for the bullets, but it's you who get killed. And this is the world you make all around you. This is what's waiting for your very own kid. Lock us in cages like beasts in a big zoo and act like it's something good that you did. And so, Mama, I think that's all I can tell you. What you get is what you see. It's vicious up here, and my time is so long. Maybe someday you'll be proud of me. And, Mama, you know I had to write you this letter. I'm getting along here, but it's kind of hard. Sometimes I'll be thinking about you, walking and talking in the prison yard. Yeah, sometimes I'm thinking about you, walking and talking in the prison yard.
Well, thank you so much for that, Professor Louis. This gives us a little picture of what happens to many of our youth. And while we're talking about that, let's look at what happens to other people's youth who do go the same route, who take the same road, the ways of injustice. Today, I read that there is a new drug that's going to come to the market soon to combat the opioids. It's a nasal spray used to combat opioids. That is a good thing. But I want people to remember the difference in who gets the treatment. We see our cowardly caucus of congressmen of color decided that we treat youngsters who got into drugs with jail time, all kinds of jail time, Rockefeller laws, three strikes, you're out, and on and on and on, double the time with crack cocaine as opposed to powdered cocaine. All of the excuses to continue the war on folks of color. No different. It's the war on folks of color, and don't you forget it. Professor Louis just gave us a slight picture. If you are of the poor, those considered a lower class, a class of color. And now that so many other folks are into opioids, fentanyl, they come up with a drug, which I support, a drug that counteracts opioids, stops people from ODing, stops people from dying. We have hospitals, education, jobs for other folks. Is that not an education or a step towards educating ourselves? We will continue, but I want to know what you think about this, Sister Betty.
Okay, well, you know, we always start, before we go into some of our main topics, with an update on our political prisoners. I'm going to open up some of our mics here, and I want to remind people that Mutulu Shakur tried to cure heroin addicts with acupuncture, all right? And for that, he is still in prison and may die there. Sister Ann Lam of New York Jericho and the rest of our Jericho people, I'm opening your mic, and we have someone here who I assume is going to give us an update on Brother Mia. And those of you who know Sister Julia Wright, you know she has been a tireless for Mamiya Abu-Jamal. So, comrades, the mic is open. Whoever wants to go, just jump right in.
Sister Betty, may I correct you here? Death camps.
Thank you.
Death camps.
Thank you.
Death camps.
Your mics are open, folks.
Okay. I have a little update from somebody we don't hear from too often, which is our brother Kojo Bomani Sababu, also known as Grayling Brown. If you write to him, you'll have to write to him as Grayling Brown. And I just received an email from him yesterday, and he says, I've been sick lately and unable to do small things. My lungs and nasal passages were clogged, and I had to be given treatments to simply breathe. I also had the flu and I believe long-term COVID. All problems are related to the respiratory system. I spent a lot of time struggling to breathe. Currently, I am okay, just hip blocking bone on bone. Please give my humblest regards to everyone and solidarity to all. So that's another concerning person in another death camp. And then, as people know, our dear comrade, Matulu Shakur, should be, you know, I was granted parole, should be out the door soon, still not out the door. But there are a lot of upcoming events for Matulu. Right now there's a concert going on in Chicago, a benefit concert. There's two on 10th, also for Matulu, and don't forget that December 10th is International Human Rights Day. I also was speaking with family and friends of Matulu Shakur, and they were saying a couple of things. One is, if you hear any rumors, you know, on Facebook or wherever, you know, on social media, please, they said, please email them so that they can, you know, respond to you and let you know what's happening. And their email is info@matulushakur.com. And also people should go to matulushakur.com if you want to support, if you want to give a donation to help with the ongoing expenses that are quite large for Matulu. That's the place to do it. And if you're following Matulu Shakur on social media, you should follow the official Matulu Shakur accounts, because there are a lot of accounts that are not the official Matulu Shakur accounts. So on Instagram, that's FreeDRMShakur. So Free Dr. M. Shakur, right? FreeDRMShakur is on Instagram. On Facebook, there's a group called Free Matulu Shakur. Twitter is Free Dr. Matulu Shakur, Free DRM Shakur. So those are the official social media sites of family and friends. And so tonight there's this concert going on in Chicago, starting at 8 p.m. their time. And then there's two things happening on the 10th. I'm sure there are more things happening that I have not yet been informed about. But also family and friends of Matulu Shakur has been posting all those things at MatuluShakur.com. So people should always go to MatuluShakur.com for any information about what is happening with Matulu. Now, I know there was a tremendous event today in New York to launch the statewide campaign to abolish prison slavery in the state. I unfortunately was not able to attend, but I heard that it was quite wonderful. So we will be reporting more on that, because that's a whole coalition of organizations that are organizing around that. And I also know that tomorrow, this happened suddenly, tomorrow people from the RAP campaign and other folk who are part of that coalition will be up in Albany, because suddenly, without giving too much advance information, they're actually having hearings on the two parole reform bills that we've been trying to get passed since forever. So that will be happening tomorrow, and we will pay strict attention to see what is happening there. Now, you said somebody else was going to talk about Mumia, so I will not talk about Mumia, but I will tell you that there is an event on December 9th, which is to free Mumia and all political prisoners, and they will, of course, talk about Mumia. I will also talk about Kamal Siddiqui. They'll have people representing Imam Jamil. They'll have somebody speaking for Leonard Peltier, somebody speaking for Veronica Bowers, and one can go to linktree.com/Mumia. That's linktr.ee/Mumia, and you can register there for this Zoom event. This will be a Zoom event. Now, I know Kasiste Siddiqui is speaking for her dad. I'm not sure who is speaking for the imam, for Manera, for Veranza, or for Mumia. But hopefully we'll have more information on that soon. But that's definitely happening on Friday evening at 7 p.m., so if people want to register for that, they should do so, and I will be adding it up to my website momentarily. So just to be brief, that is my information for the moment. Must remember that it's our duty to free all of our political prisoners and bring everybody home. So I don't know if any other Jericho folk here have something they want to say. Feel free to do so.
Well, thank you so much, Ann. And that is the Jericho website.
All right. Yep. We've got 7785, and then we're going to go to Sister Gwen. 7785, last four digits. Your mic is open, comrade.
Greetings, everyone. I'm just over here this evening paying attention to all the useful and important information, and I won't take up any more time, and I'll just keep on listening. And, of course, we got to free them all.
Yeah.
That's the
All right. We've
Thank
got another
much.
Jericho in the house from Boston, 0072. If you want to throw in a few words.
Peace, y'all. Now, I'm just listening tonight also. I would like to find out a little more about what Ralph was talking about earlier. Was that Narcan, that new drug that was coming out to squash addictions and whatnot?
Yes,
because
it is. And it's fast-tracking.
Wow. That's been around for about 10 or 15 years, man.
Well, they're going to make it accessible to the public because they believe it works. And all of the reports I've heard is it will save a lot of lives.
But it's not as effective in holistically healing a human as acupuncture would have been, which goes back thousands and thousands of years. And for that, we've got a political prisoner who's been there a century. Sister Gwen, your mic is open. You want to give us the update on Mamiya?
And we must understand... this is a pharmaceutical, and it will be money for the pharmaceuticals, and acupuncture was not money for the pharmaceuticals. Now you draw your own conclusions. Who was it meant for? And that cure that was meant for us was silenced, was put down, was put in the death camps. The cure that is meant for them makes money for a certain class, for corporate and for pharmaceuticals. It all fits.
It's called capitalism.
Very well said. They call it capitalism.
All right.
Continue.
Gwen, Comrade Gwen.
Hi,
you
good
keep
evening.
It moving. Yes. Thank you for having me on.
So the latest is people should go to lovenotfear.com to watch a video of the supervising judge Lucretia Clemens did a video about her upbringing and why she became a Catholic and how she also talks about what her strategy is in addressing the justice, the criminal activity, what her take of it was, and also she talked about the demonstrations that took place during the George Floyd period when he was murdered by the cops, and that people, and she was right about one thing: you cannot have peace without justice. She talks about that, and we're asking, the Love Not Fear campaign is asking that people respond to her in that video in reference to Mumia, because it seems like she's not really doing what she professes she's going to do in addressing the imbalance and in the criminal justice system. She knows it exists. And her plan is, it looks like she wrote a 31-page brief stating that she's going to dismiss Mumia's appeals simply because of a time bar issue, meaning because Mumia's attorneys didn't address the racial bias in jury selection in the mid 90s when his case was up on appeal, his former lawyers didn't address the racial bias in jury selection, but they didn't have the information that they have now, and they only have that because the DA happened to find 32 boxes with Momi's name on it, and it has his lawyers were only able to examine 6 of those boxes. So, like I said, in those boxes, they learned more about how the DA struck blacks from the jury, and she's saying that it's too late. Basically, she also said that the information about the driver who claims to have seen Momia shoot the officer is faulty because he wasn't even on the scene that night. And he's asking in a note in those papers, in the 6 boxes, he wrote a note to asking the DA, where's my money? And she had the nerve to say that wouldn't have changed the outcome of the trial. So the upshot is there's going to be a hearing. She did leave a window open for Momia's attorneys to address what she's talking about, and it has to be a law based in Pennsylvania, though, to back up the appeals. So the hearing is on Friday, December 16th, and we have a bus leaving from New York to go to Philadelphia to make it plain to her that we're not going to stand for her shenanigans, basically. So we're asking people to please join us on December 16th. And the reason why it's so important is that Momia doesn't have a lot of time. He has congestive heart failure. And the doctor's basically given him maybe 5 years to live. And we're already, last year he had the surgery. So he doesn't have a lot of time. Prison ages you. And we want to take this opportunity to take a strong stand to support Momia and his righteous fight to have his day in court with an unbiased jury. We want a new trial or outright release. He served this December 9th. He would have served 41 years in prison. Also, there's going to be an event this Friday, and you could go to Linktree. Linktree/Momia to register for that event. And like I said, so go to bringmomiahome.com to get your bus ticket. We also have scholarships for those who cannot afford it. Bringmomiahome.com. Momia is spelled M-U-M-I-A to get your ticket to go to Philadelphia. And we take donations. If you can't go, Then donate so someone else can go that would like to go and can't afford it. Also, go to lovenotfear.com to watch the video that Justice Lucretia Clemens did about why she became a Catholic and what her approach is when she's on the bench. So
well,
that's
thank
you.
We appreciate you, and we've got to move on. Thank you very much. What's the number for the bus again, please, that they should call?
The website is Bring Movie Home, and the number is 212-330-8029. That's 212-330-8029. That's the Free Movie Coalition hotline. And one more thing, we will be at the UN on Saturday, so you can join us for that, too. Okay?
Saturday at what?
We're going to be there at noon.
All right.
Yeah,
okay, that's pretty
Thank you.
Street.
Thank
you.
And First Avenue to join the demonstration at the UN for Momia Abu Jamal. But understand something, my brothers and sisters. All of these words of judges and presidents, they're all lies. We just saw that the nations of the world concluded their conference in Egypt on global warming. and all kinds of words of how they're going to end it, and how Biden spoke and how he's going to play his part. And then the next day, signed papers for the largest oil distribution terminal in the world. It will be built in Texas. It shows you out of one end of his mouth, he's saying one thing, and out of the real end, when he strikes that pen, billions are going to produce more oil for exportation. And so forget about what they say. It's what they mean. And next, we have a real situation, a situation that we know something about, that we've experienced. And that was the Central Park Five situation. And we have Sharon Salam to give us an update on December 19th. But we'll let Sharon Salam tell us what's coming up. Sharon, your microphone is open.
And welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. And I will say it is a pleasure.
Again, December 19th.
Well, on December 19th, there's going to be a gate naming ceremony in Central, on the north end of Central Park, between 110th Street, between 5th Malcolm X Boulevard, right across from what was Lincoln Correctional Facility, and across from the now Dana Center, which is in Central Park. They're going to be naming a gate of the exonerated, on behalf of exonerated people like the Central Park Five. My son was one of those five boys that was accused of raping a white woman in Central Park. They're going to name the gate. They're going to have a ceremony on behalf of it, and this will be the first gate naming in 100 years in Central Park. It'll be a historic event. I've been working on this project for almost 5 years, and I'm hoping that many of you will come out, because exonerated people need to be recognized. And those people who have been incarcerated and feel that they need exoneration also need to be exonerated and be recognized. This is not just about the Central Park Five. This is about all people who fit into that category, because we all know that there are thousands upon thousands of people who are incarcerated and who have been incarcerated, who are innocent, people who don't have DNA, people just like we are talking about Mumia. People who need and want to clear their names. This is something for them. And this is an education piece, because along with this, there has been a curriculum developed to teach about prisons, to teach about incarceration, and to teach about exoneration. It's unbelievable.
It is... fact of life in America that anybody will do when they're looking to victimize people, to terrorize a whole community on an issue. It happens time and time again. And along with the people who are incorrectly incarcerated, and the tragedy Central Park Five was that the prosecution, the institution of law enforcement, knew they were lying at the time, because they ended up with five different confessions.
Alleged confessions.
Alleged confessions, the ones that were fed to young, frightened men by the state.
The detective wrote his...
There you have...
...signed.
And I remember
when they just go out to all ends, no matter what. Remember that case in Boston where this black man was accused of killing a pregnant woman. Her husband was there in the car with her. Remember that case? He had been incarcerated before. The only thing that saved his life from death row was the fact that the white man's brother came out and said that his brother killed his own wife. The black man wasn't even there. We are easily targeted because when they see us, they only see black people who are able to do crimes. And that's who we become in their own eyes and in the eyes of some of those people who look just like us also. To change that, we have to elevate their thinking in some kind of way, because when they brought us here off the slave ship, we weren't people known like that. We were educated people. We were doctors and lawyers, teachers, farmers. We helped build this nation, and they created laws to keep us at a certain state because they needed the builders. And the only way they could maintain that is if we were not educated. Right now, when we have sent our children to school, no matter how smart they are in the first grade, the second grade, or the third grade, or should I say by the time they get into third grade, they start figuring out how many prisons they're going to need. Because this country is built on free labor, and the only way you can get free labor today is if somebody's in jail. So they have to keep those jails full, and it doesn't matter if you're guilty or innocent.
This is what we mean by colony. This is what we mean by American capitalism. Sister Sharon, I seem to recall that Trump called for the death penalty. Am I correct?
Right. He called for the death penalty before even the jury was formed.
And these young men were all innocent. And the thing I remember about this case was the how it ended. And I've always said to myself, I will never speak of this case without mentioning the young man, Matias Reyes. And that taught me something. It taught me there is redemption. Because in order for him to confess, it was a struggle because the state didn't want a confession. They had their theory of the case. They would have liked to have executed these five young men. And when it came out that they were all lying, they tried to intimidate him from telling the truth. And I remember speaking to the young man when they broke every rule. First, they denied my access to him, turned me away from the walls up at Clinton because they knew what was coming down the pike. And I said, okay, I'm leaving, but Lynn Stewart will be here in the morning. They called me back. And when I had access to him, two guards sat right beside us. And I told them, move from here because this is not an interview with the Army of Occupation guards sitting there. And Matthias says, do not worry. I am not afraid of them. I have found God, and I want everybody to know what I have to say. And he said it.
Yes. Yes,
I did it.
He said it.
And when I asked him questions, I said, just your doesn't make it so. Well, he proved it to me, and he whispered in my ear to go find the stone that he had beaten this woman with. They were looking for a weapon, and he says they're never going to find it because the original weapon was a branch from a tree. And he went on to explain what happened, and in my ear, where to find the stone, what it looked like, and I did. And they knew they lied, but they
They were going to sacrifice these young men. They destroyed their lives for their own fiction. And the woman, the prosecutor, she got a promotion. Everybody got their pension. Everybody moved ahead. We are to be victims forever. And we must keep this in mind. And we must understand how this relates to Kevin Johnson, the young man who was murdered by the state recently in St. Louis. How does this relate, and how does it help educate us to where we are and what our circumstance in America is? Sharam, would you like to add to that?
Yes. We need to teach African-American history in every school. Because until we elevate the consciousness and awareness and the reality of our children and all children, we're going to be in this situation over and over again, and it's not going to get any better because we have a lot of children out there who are hurting and hurting each other. Hurt people that look just like them because they don't see a value in themselves. And as long as they don't value themselves, they can't value you. And when they hurt you, what are you going to do? We've got to go back. What do they say? There's a saying in Africa saying, go back and fetch it. We got to go back and fetch it and bring that reality to life. Because as long as we are wrapped in the educational system where we are taught that we are nothing, expect nothing to go our way, expect nothing to change our reality of who we are. We've got to move forward, but we've got to change it and change it at the root.
Yes, ma'am, and amen, and I'm not a theist. And so we must control our education system, lock, stock, and that means money, contracts, etc. And that's for another program because it's always that problem is going to be with us, as Shiraz Salam has told us. And so we have to solve that, and we must move on. Thank you.
Well, I want to make the announcement again about the Central Park Five. I want to let you know Yusuf Salam has not only not allowed this to destroy him, he is organizing. How's he organizing? He's running for office. But you be out there December 19th, 10:30 a.m. is the gathering. Program begins at 11 a.m. at 110th between Malcolm X Boulevard and Fifth Avenue in New York City, Manhattan. And this history, we must say that this history matters. This history matters to us that we have not forgotten that Trump called for the death penalty. And Sister Sharon, I cannot thank you enough. I know how hard you fight for WBAI. You came from a meeting with WBAI this evening, and you're always on the run because WBAI, I think, had your back when all of this vilification of these children, that's what they were. They were children. And here is this richest man almost in the world calling for them to be lynched. So I thank you for getting on and for making us aware of this historical moment. Folks,
can I just say one thing before I go?
Please do, yes.
If you need more information regarding the event, you can call 646-261-5397. Once again, 646-261-5397. And please,
I know you're going to email this to Sister Ann so she can put it on the Jericho website if she hasn't already done it. She's always ahead of me with this sort of stuff. That's why we rely on her. But make sure that announcement gets out there because this is a political prisoner issue. Our guys in the death camps went to fight so that these young brothers would not be targeted like this. And without that, I want to go on to the case of Kevin Johnson. We've got a warrior in the house on the phone. Sister Lisa, your mic is open. And thank you, Sister Sharon.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. And Uhuru, I'll be happy to inform Uhuru, which means freedom, just for people who do not know that. I'll be happy to talk about the case whatever way I can, although there's someone that I know you've been trying to reach out to get her on the show, Sister Kalambayi and Annette, who is in Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri. She's the one I found out about this case from. I know that she's been doing a lot of on-the-ground work there. But, yeah, they murdered him. You know, they murdered him in cold blood because whole horrible, rotten, evil system thrives off of the blood of black people. It does, and also other non-white people. It is a brutal system, and we must challenge it and fight it on every front. And who is this system? Who is this government that has been literally so brutal, that was founded on genocide, literally, and enslavement, as if those are two separate things, because they really are not. But who are they to sit there and be in judgment over any black person at all? They have no right. And we can look at what they're doing today with their continuous wars, their continuous anti-humanity policies on almost every front. But they murdered him. And interestingly enough, there was a young white man who had killed two officers or tried to kill two officers. He succeeded in killing one, shot up the other one, and he was 18 years old, and he just did it because he published how he wanted to just kill white people. Kevin Johnson took out this white officer in defense of his young brother who was having a seizure, and he felt that they did not do enough to try to save his brother. And so in response to that and out of rage, that's where he, you know, killed an officer, or I call them beast officers. But the other young white man, when he was 18 years old, just decided to just kill some. And yet the prosecutor in the case, the same prosecutor who sought the death penalty for Kevin Johnson, refused to seek the death penalty for this white man, white kid who killed an officer when he was 18 years old. And it's like blatant. They always have been blatant and in our face with this. And yet this is the system. This is systemic. This is nothing unusual with what happened in Missouri. This happens all the time. And it's one of the reasons why I am against the death penalty. You know, the least of which has to do with the way it is deliberately used and weaponized. And, you know, if they're going to usually show mercy to anybody or clemency to anybody, they're usually people who are not black. And this is certainly the case that happened in the case of Kevin Johnson. And I was talking with you earlier, Brother Ralph. We got to organize. We got to change this whole damn thing. We got to change it.
We have to change ourselves to understand that this young man was a political prisoner, a soldier who fought back because he felt his humanity was denied. And it was. And he took revenge. I'm so sorry that his whole family is are people of status. They stood up for him. They understood. He refused to be denied of his humanity, of his younger brother's humanity. And so
his brother was having a seizure. And he's looking at these officers just stepping over him. You know, I mean, I think help was called, but they didn't get there fast enough. And he felt that they could have done more. The officers refused to allow the young boy, who was 12 years old at the time, having a seizure. They refused to allow his parents to come to assist him. They refused to do that. He's on the floor. They're stepping over him, walking up like he's nothing. So
they preside. Death, and I'm with Kevin Johnson. I wish I could have been at his funeral. I wish I could have been out in St. Louis to console the family. He took the proper steps. You claim to be a peace officer when you're really an army of occupation terrorizing people, and no matter what the terror is, it must be dealt with. Kevin Johnson, Presente.
Sister Lisa, did you want to make any announcements in terms of upcoming events for either the African People Socialist Party raided by the FBI or the ANWO, African National Women's Organization, or the Black is Back Coalition? Feel free to do so before we move on.
Thank you so much. Actually, I don't happen to have any information on that right now. I can make sure that I get all of that to you. But I also just want to say, after he's talking about Dr. Matula Shakur, I am so fortunate right now to be in the process of completing a training in auricular ear acupuncture, which is what you were addressing, helping to deal, to treat addiction. And I am being trained under people who studied with Dr. Matula Shakur. So I just want people to know that his vision and his work, we are keeping it alive, and he's still what we're going to keep him with us. That's what we want to do no matter what. But I just want to share that with you.
Well, thank you so very much, Sister Betty.
I want to continue. We have a few more minutes, but we're going to get everyone in. Brother Joel, your mic is open. And thank you, Sister Lisa.
And thank you.
Brother Joel, you want to give us a few words? Okay, we'll go on. We'll come back to Joel. Brother Henry, if you're still with us, thank you for your patience. You want to give us a few words?
Yes, thank you, Sister Betty. I would just want to encourage people to come out on the 16th of December in support of Mumia. Mumia has been innocent from Jump Street. They fear his example, and we need to let them know that we're not going to accept any verdict that shortchanges his release. The man should never have been in prison in the first place. They fear his intellect, his honesty, and his integrity.
Well, thank you so much.
And I would encourage people to support all the other political prisoners, including the Central Park Five and those also imprisoned under false pretenses. This society is determined to suppress people of color in their resistance to the oppression. So we want to thank everybody for the years of support. And we ask and urge people to continue. We must always support our political prisoners. Always.
All right. We want to say we're indebted to Brother Henry. He was the go-to person to be able to get Sister Julia Wright to join us tomorrow evening to recite poetry. We have another guest whose mic we're going to open for a few moments. Did you want to say a few words?
Good evening. Good evening. I basically just want to, pretty much reiterate what Brother Ralph already articulated, because when I work with prisoners, who are pretty much, the oppressed, and I feel kind of elated that it's come to a point after several months where they said exactly what Ralph said. You cannot depend on any president. In fact, you can't even depend on anyone who has reached the status of senator because they have already sold their soul to the big corporate, puppeteers. And for prisoners to kind of acknowledge that and actually believe that, and even tell other classmates who come in late, how strongly they feel and the logic behind it. It is definitely edifying. But at the same time, it's also a bit, sad that the mainstream, folks cannot basically grasp that. They believe that one guy is going to be, more beneficial to their personal, either to their pockets or to their own clique or whatever. So it's kind of sad, that the large mainstream does not get it, no matter what how educated they are, whereas the ones who are incarcerated, and oppressed, they've actually grasped that. A second point I also wanted to make was, and again, I'm basically reiterating, you know, and what I guess one of the speakers already said, even though I'm not so much for the death penalty, but isn't it ironic that Donald Trump, you know, would call for the death penalty with such vengeance, as do other politicians also every now and then, but yet the guy who in his neighborhood of Buffalo, you know, so unabashedly said, yes, I killed all these people, you know, all these 10 black folks, and he does not even get the death penalty. You know, he just gets to be a living hero. It is just, you know, obscene, you know. So I just want to leave it at that, you know, and I know Ralph said that we should have another forum, another time for education, because clearly as an educator, as are most of us on this forum tonight, realize, you know, that's where it actually starts, between the education system that dumbs us down and has its own agenda, and the media and the corporations. We are, these three institutions are basically right out of the playbook of Joseph Goebbels. Yes, on one hand, we condemn Joseph Goebbels, but hey, America is basically on the same, you know, the same playbook. All right, I will yield to other to other guests tonight, but thank you so much for the opportunity to contribute.
Well, thank you so much. That brings us to the end of another discussion, and we look forward to people tuning in tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, 99.5 on your FM radio in New York City. And 212-209-292877. Call in and listen. 212-209-2877.
Yes, Sister Drew, you're right. Talk about her dad and Mamiya. I want to thank those, and we had a guest who did not get on. We're going to start with them next week. I do apologize. Thank you all for being on.
Good night, comrades, with love.
And that's what's happening.